Please turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 24. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the pew in front of you. So excited when your church is just full of the heart of Jesus. And things are said and things happen and people just reach out. They just want to do something. They just want to share with people. So this morning, as the choir, the worship team reads scripture and shares their heart, Ted shares a testimony, Devon and Jeanette share this booklet with us in care and in love for Jesus and for people. That's just totally exciting to see that. To have visitors from First Friday, that's just exciting, that the love of Christ in us is just coming out, and we may be a small church, but we have the love of Christ in us. He is our glory and our hope, and His word is so meaningful, so rich and true, and so. As that last song spoke about, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word. And that's all this is. We take the word of God and we won't manipulate it, throw some out, keep some. We take the word of God and we will just stay right there. And I think in just a few minutes you'll see why. I want to talk about a lesson from the end. Matthew chapter 24. Most people are somewhat familiar with this passage. And the reason many are familiar with it is because verses 3 through 14 talk about signs of the end of the age. And so we read this passage and we go, okay, wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines. And we're watching for these natural sort of occurrences, so to speak. And we're just looking out our window, watching the news. And we're going, yep, the birth pains are getting closer and more intense. We're definitely moving in that way. And we kind of don't think about this second part that I want to talk this morning about, and that is the people of the end, what people and relationships will look like as the end draws near. And that's in verse 9, begins at verse 9 and goes through verse 14. So not only will you have earthquakes and famines and those things, you'll have this, and I want to explain this to us. I want you to see this because it's happening. It's happening now. Matthew chapter 24, verse 9. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased and the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. So they're asking him, when's the end? And he tells them about some of these things. They'll lead you astray. Many will come and say, I'm the Christ, and they'll lead many astray. And we know we have many false religions already, cult and occult alike, claiming to be the Messiah, the way to God. We know that's in place, and that will increase. You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, but don't be alarmed. This must take place. The end is not yet. So there are things leading up to the end, and what we would call this tribulation period, these 7 years we find in Daniel, this tribulation, we know, we see somewhat of a distinct beginning to that. But as Jesus teaches this, we don't see the distinct beginning and end of that. He just says, these things must happen, but the end is not yet. So whatever that means, whether we're leading up to the tribulation, we're in the tribulation, we know the church is snatched away from the tribulation, from the wrath. This is definitely the trend of the end days, whether it's right before, during, and I think it's probably both. This is how relationships and people, this is how it will trend leading up to the tribulation and into the tribulation. It will trend like this. And that's what I want us to see. These are the lessons I want us to see as things are trending this way. Let me pray. Dear Lord, as we open your scripture, there are just a few verses here, and I'm asking you, through the power of your Holy Spirit, to help me to teach it, to convey it, in an understandable way. And I'm asking your Holy Spirit to open our hearts and minds to receive it, that it will be a good soil, that there will be fruit born. It won't fall on thorny ground or rocky ground or the path. So I'm praying now for your Spirit to prepare me and our hearts to see this clearly. Thank you. Thank you for shining your light thousands of years ahead from when Jesus spoke, but to show us the way. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So verse 9, then they will deliver you up to tribulation, trouble, pressure, and put you to death, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. So see that first, that the nations, all nations, will hate these people of God. In the tribulation, it will certainly be primarily Israel. But as this trends toward this, the people of God will be hated, some put to death, as many are already today, and there will be a tribulation that grows. An opposition from the nations. Just think outside of that window. Okay? It starts there. And then look what happens in verse 10. Look at those first two words. So the nations are trending against God's people. Verse 10. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. So the nations trend against God's people, against Christianity, and then Israel. The nations trend against that in hatred, and then God's people begin to betray one another and hate one another, and many fall away. The nations hate, then the church or Israel, whatever side of that line of the tribulation you're on, as this trends, God's people began to divide, began to betray one another. Note clearly, verse 10, those first two words, and then. So the nations lead. The nations are leading, and they are turning against God's people. And then God's people turn against God's people and betray one another. Then, verse 11, and with that, many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. So the nations seem to lead with their opposition to God's people, and then God's people begin to divide and betray one another. And with that, there are false teachers, pseudo-prophets, false teachers who also divide with the people, and they arise and lead many astray. So the question is, who's leading who? Whereas the church should be leading and influencing society, it seems in this passage that the nations rise to an opposition, and then the church people seem to follow that lead, and because of that opposition and the difficulty of that, God's people betray one another, and there are leaders and teachers to help you, lead you astray, take you down this wrong path, because God's people seem to be following the nations rather than the Word of God, rather than Jesus Christ. I need you to see that. See, we are supposed to be leading. We are supposed to be influencing. We are supposed to be helping people to find Jesus. But when the end is drawing near, when we are trending towards the end and the animosity from the nations grows heavier over God's people, the people within the church begin to betray one another. And there are leaders that will take us. And we see that today like we've never seen it before. The division of churches with leaders coming to light, leading us astray. What I need you to see, as these things trend, and this is my first point, as these things trend, we cannot require being liked to be correct. And many leaders and many churches seem to be walking down that path, to think and to teach that we can't take a firm stance on the Bible. We must be liked by society, by culture, if we're doing things correct. If you're taking a biblical stand and it is causing problems around you, people don't like you, you must be doing something wrong. Because we want to be liked, and that's how we will most effectively minister. I'm telling us, based on the Word of God, that's exactly the opposite of what will happen. As these birth pains grow and intensify, He is quite clearly telling us, as things trend into the end, God's people will be disliked and hated and betrayed. And in the sphere of God's people, there will be division as they betray one another, and leaders lead many astray down that path. And that makes sense to me as I watch today why so many leaders are leading their congregations into the flow of culture and of nations and away from the truth of God's Word. Because it brings conflict to stay here. And they want to get along. And they want people to like them. And they won't like us. And it's not because we're mean, mean-spirited. It's because we stand on the truth of God that doesn't move. It's because of Jesus and a spiritual warfare way beyond what we can see. They will not like us because we are their enemy. And that is clearly spoken in today's news feeds. These Christians are a problem. That will grow and intensify. So we cannot require being liked as correct. We must understand as we move forward, as the birth pains grow, we will be more and more disliked. But we must keep going. We must stand on the word of God. Thus saith the Lord. Verse 12, my second point. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. Look carefully at that verse. Look carefully at the order of that verse. Because lawlessness, anomia, no law. That's the law of God, not the law of the land, not the law of the city. The law of God, the law word of God. Because lawlessness, a leaving of the word of God, a leaving of God's law, because the societies, the nations, much of the church betray one another, go down another path. Because the law of God and the lack of it, the lawlessness, because it increases, then what happens? The love of many grow cold. See, we think it's different. We think we love, we lead with the love, and then we introduce the law, God's word. But this quite clearly says, because we have thrown God's word out, set it aside, redressed it to look like something else, because there's no law of God leading anymore our nation and our churches, then the love grows cold. God's word is love. God's law is His love to us. Walk in my word and in my laws, and it will foster and promote love. And we are saying now, throw God's word out. It's old, it's antiquated. It doesn't mean that anymore. We can't follow that today. And we tear down the whole structure, the instruction of God's law. And because of that, the love of many grows cold. We don't have the structure to love God's way when we throw out the law. That is love. And what we want to do in our societies and in our nations is create our own system of love. Design our own system of love. Tweak the Word of God so that we can love our way, not God's way. It's a huge mistake. It's a huge mistake. God's law leads us to love. It is love. He is love. He wouldn't give us a word that wasn't love. It didn't promote love. It doesn't grow love. It shapes our love. It tells us what love is. And we want to love. But it's God's word that drives us there. It's God's law that drives us there. So law leads to love. Law leads to love. God's word leads to love. How many times have you heard today, look, just love people. Look, just love people. And what they're asking you to do is contrary to God's law. It's contrary to God's law. So, let me show you why this is false. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 6 and 7. I will give you an example. Some may not like, It's okay. Law leads to love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 6 to 7. You know the scripture. You know this is the love passage. I thank some of our ladies for this passage right here. Speaking of love, in verse 6, love does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. Love endures all things. Key verse is verse 6. Love does not rejoice at wrongdoing. So let me just bring this example right to us. June is Gay Pride Month in our nation. But we know that homosexuality is sin according to the Word of God. From start to finish, if you don't try and recreate it, tweak it, move it, it's plain and simple. Homosexuality is wrongdoing. It is sin. So if someone says to you, just love these people and go along with them, show them you love them, can I say to you, based on the Word of God, love, true love of God, does not rejoice at wrongdoing. You do not celebrate Gay Pride Month and think you're loving them because it's wrongdoing, it's sin, it's sexual immorality. Anything that is wrongdoing, you don't rejoice, you don't celebrate, you don't join the parade thinking, I just want to love these people and show them I love them. That's not biblical love. But you know and I know, we can throw a rock from our church and hit churches with that banner flying in their window, with that rainbow flag. We don't have to go far at all. Within minutes, and all over our nation, there are churches with that rainbow flag saying, we just want to love them. And I'm here to tell you on the Word of God, you don't love anyone by rejoicing at wrongdoing. No one. Love rejoices in the truth. Now, why he says, now love doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing. Why didn't he say love rejoices in right doing? He said love rejoices in the truth. Because the truth is it's wrong, it's sin. And that brings repentance and that brings the love of God into the equation. It's truth that will get you to the love of God. And that's what we're talking about. We never rejoice at wrongdoing. We do rejoice at the truth because the truth will lead you and me and them into God's eternal love. That's what we rejoice in. But all over our nation today, there are those tweaking the Word of God, setting it aside. The law of God, it is lawlessness to take parts of Scripture and say, no, that doesn't count anymore today. No, that's not what it was. No, that's not this. No, that's old school. And to set the law of God aside and say, we're just going to love people, that's lawlessness. And it leads to love gone cold. It's not love. Jesus taught it. Paul taught it. Because of that, the love of many has grown cold. And that is what we're seeing, a loveless society, because we have set God's law aside. Get this straight. Watch the order. Listen to how Jesus taught these beautiful, beautiful truths. These are lessons of the end. The church will trend into the wrath of the nations. The love of many will grow cold as we set God's law aside, thinking to love on our own terms and not His. But law leads to love. And in verse 13, the one, but the one, who endures to the end will be saved. So, I want to draw your attention then to the one enduring to the end, whether it's us now, the church, or Israel later. The one who endures what? Earthquakes, famines? Yes. But the one who endures this total transformation of society and the world's feelings towards us that leads church to betray one another, pastors to lead churches astray, divide up over into a false love to set God's word aside. The one who endures that relationship, the one who endures this transformation of society and the church and leaders, the one who sticks with Jesus and his word, thus saith the Lord. The one who endures that. Just give me Jesus. The one who endures to the end, that's the one who will be saved. It's that person committed to our Jesus and his word that will be saved. This is the endurance of the non-participators. We're not participating in Gay Pride Month. We refuse to participate with all that they're doing and many churches are doing, leaving God's word. This is our endurance, the endurance of the non-participators. Don't ask me to join the parade. Don't ask me as a pastor to wear the rainbow button. I'm not participating in the direction this is trending. I have love, they don't, because I have the love of Christ in his law and his word. These are false teachers. I hope their believers just tripped up, just fallen away, but I don't know. But it says many will fall away. Many will be tripped up. That's exactly what this word is. Or it says many will fall away. Verse 10. Many will fall away. That's the word scandalon again. It's the Greek word scandalon. It means they'll be tripped. They'll stumble. As the nations turn against Christianity, and so much of the church turns against itself, and their leaders helping this divide, many will be tripped up. And there are. I got a great story for you. I got a great example of being tripped up. Quiet, Wendy. I fish from my front yard, and my seawall is all these rocks, big rocks. My wife's been telling me for weeks to quit walking down those rocks to get to the water. Because I have an area where there's a pier, we have a sandy thing, but you know me. And so there's that little thing, it's about this deep, maybe a little deeper, and I kind of carefully place my feet on these rocks, and I go down to the water, and my wife's told me over and over and over, be careful, be careful, be careful. And so yesterday I'm fishing away, and I had a little Tupperware thing. I set my fishing pole down. I had this little Tupperware thing. I just wanted to get a little water in it. So I went like this, and there was a big flat rock right there. And I said, man, that is a good step for me to step on. And I went right there, and that rock moved and went like this. And guess what? I ended up on my back, fully clothed, in the lake. Did I feel like a fool? Yeah, but I hit it. I hit it really well. I'm laying there in a sweatshirt, shoes, on my back, in the water. I was tripped up. What I saw as a flat, stable rock, that's a good one to put my foot on. No, no. That thing moved. And I, with a little, some really graceful, some of this, ends up in my back, in the lake. And there are people in the church, and there are pastors leading those churches today. And there, you think, you look at it, and you go, that's a really flat rock to put my foot on. Whoops, it moved. And the truth of God in these churches, with these pastors, with these rainbow flag flying preachers telling you to go join the parade, that's a flat rock that moves. The truth of God moves. It will move again in 10 years when the next big societal trend comes along. When the next sin, when the next thing comes along, they will tell you, look, we just need to be liked. They need to like us. We just need to love them on our terms. And that flat rock will move again. And many, many, many will follow these leaders. Many in the church will betray one another over it as some stand with God and some stand with society and are led by the nations. That flat rock moves. And I hope they're believers, but they will end up on their back in the water. They will trip and they will fall away. And that's happening everywhere as we are trending toward the end. But the one who endures to the end, the one who sticks by the word of God to the end, will be saved. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, Paul said, I endure chains. Everything I'm enduring is for the sake of the elect. It's that the gospel will go out. I'll endure it, he says. I'm willing to suffer these chains so that the gospel keeps going. Why didn't he just go along and give the gospel peacefully? But rather, he had to endure the chains, and so must we, endure. We must endure the shifting winds of nation, church, and church leadership and stand by Jesus and His Word. There's a lot of beautiful verses in the Bible about enduring. And this is the endurance of the non-participators. We don't go along to get along, to put it in today's vernacular. And many, many are. This is the endurance of the non-participating true church of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 12 may shed new light on this. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. That's how we run, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You and I will endure like Jesus, with our eyes only on Jesus, looking only to Jesus and his word. We will endure and we will lay aside every sin and every weight that clings so closely. And it is clinging closely today. It is in churches today. Run for your life from those churches and those leaders and cling to Jesus. Endure the shifting winds of nation, church, and leaders, and walk the path of the Word of God, of God's love, the true love, in God's law. The law builds love. And they've been so determined to throw it out, we have a cold, cold-hearted society. Cling to Jesus. Look to Jesus. We lay aside weights and sins. We don't embrace them in the name of love. Cling to Jesus. Lord, thank you for your word. Your instruction, your law is so rich and beautiful. You design and create love. Thank you. Thank you for opening our eyes and our minds and our hearts to you and you alone. May we never listen to society, to nations, to these false teachers, but listen to your word. Eyes locked on you. You endure the cross for us. And we will endure the transformation of our world. And we will walk and stand with you. In Jesus' name, amen.